Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our program. It's always good to be with you. It's a controversial one today and a heavy subject, but a very important, very interesting subject. Demons. Not the kind of stuff you want to think about for your daily devotionals, is it? But I will start with a question that was sent to me by one of my listeners. Bob, I have been taught that demons are fallen angels who followed after Satan when he fell into sin and rebelled against God. I have also heard that demons can possess human beings and literally live inside of them. While I understand that demons wish to deceive us and keep people from giving their lives to Jesus, the idea of these beings possessing people seems very far-fetched. In any event, wouldn't angels have bodies of their own? Okay, this is an excellent question, extremely important question. And my friend, you are very close in your understanding of fallen angels. Angels do exist who have fallen. Angels do exist who have rebelled against God. As for demons, demons are descendants of these fallen angels, but not actually angels themselves. Now, before continuing, let me say that while the notion of demonic possession might come across as fantasy, this phenomenon has been documented by many. I myself can also witness personally. I have participated in exorcisms. I've cast demons out of people. Now, look, I don't say this lightly. There are people far more experienced in these special deliverance ministries than me, and I would never venture forth to cast out a demon by myself. I always seek help and prayer and would advise anyone else to do the same. Back to the origin of demons. During the days of Noah, a group of rebellious angels, fascinated by the idea of human sexuality, but forbidden by God, took on human form. As male humans, they had sexual relations with mortal women. The children of these unions were called Nephilim. These new hybrid beings, part angel, part human, were evil but influential and looked up to in their day as heroes, very deceptive heroes. Several key events immediately followed. God sent the flood, wiping out the Nephilim and all other human beings, with obviously the exception of Noah and his family. The angels who had committed this sin were immediately locked away in a spiritual prison called Tartarus, apparently part of another spiritual prison, Hades. Now here's where it gets interesting. The disembodied spirits of these dead Nephilim are demons. And here is the answer to your question. They are fascinated with the notion of inhabiting human bodies because they once had bodies themselves. Apart from a human body, they exist in some kind of unseen dimension. They have access to our thoughts and can be deceptive even from the outside. There's like a back door to the human mind that they can get through. Their deception and influence is defeated when we give our lives to Christ and focus our minds on the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit also can live inside of us and keep these filthy creatures outside of us. That's very important. Now, obviously, this quick answer raises all kinds of greater questions, not the least of which is, all right, Bob, where do you find all of this in the scripture? Well, several places, and I wish the scripture were more detailed. It isn't, but there are things we can do about that. I'll explain in a moment. First of all, the discussion of Nephilim, very brief discussion, and about the angels coming down and marrying human females. Genesis chapter 6, the book of Jude, verse 7. I say verse 7 because Jude's a single chapter book. This spiritual prison where the angels doing this were sent. 1 Peter chapter 3. Also, the book of Enoch. Now, I know, relax, Enoch's not a book in the Bible. We'll get back to that in a second. But the book of Enoch talks a lot about this in much greater detail. It's in Acts chapter 5 where we see examples of the demons having access to the human mind. Access to the mind, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean they are living inside of you. There can be demon possession. But demons seek to deceive everybody and they have access to our minds at times, whether we are possessed by them or not. not. In Acts chapter 5, Peter asks somebody, why did Satan lay it upon your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And obviously, Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. They meant one of Satan's cronies. So he's referring here to the fact that some demon, under orders from Satan, or under orders possibly from one of Satan's subordinates, put this idea of lying into their mind. And of course, Romans chapter 8, here we do get a very good detailed account of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Maybe it's good that the Bible supports a lot of detail about our relationship with the Spirit of God. Not as much about demons, but what it says about demons, we do need to pay attention to. Now, here's another question that's obviously on your mind, and I've heard this. Bob, the very notion of angels mating with human beings sounds like Greek mythology. Don't we have stories of the ancient god Zeus coming down and having sex with women, giving birth to hybrid god humans such as Hercules? Yes, my friend, it does sound like mythology, although it would be more correct to say Greek mythology sounds imitative of the Bible. The early events of history found in the Old Testament far outdate Greek mythology. Homer's works, which more or less became the Greek Bible, were not penned until they estimate late 8th, early 7th centuries before Christ. And if the truth started with God, and human beings have a sin nature, and history and human nature degenerates, it makes sense that a lot of the Bible stories or Bible narratives would morph into these alternative stories and degenerate stories. And so, all to say, we must ask who borrowed from whom. Inasmuch as demonic spirits have been verified, as I've said, and since there is so much other evidence historically and archaeologically for biblical accuracy, there's really no valid reason not to accept this narrative as factual. Now, the other thing you're thinking of, let's get back to the book of Enoch. You notice one of my references was from the book of Enoch. And those scripture verses, if you were to look those up, you're going to find some of them a little bit confusing. You're going to find the information very limited. My first response here is a very important disclaimer. I am not saying Enoch should be included in the biblical canon, although there is a church, the Church of Ethiopia, that does include it. I am saying that this book was at least taken very seriously by the Jews of Jesus' day and the very early apostolic fathers. It was also taken seriously by the Apostle Peter and Jude, the brother of Jesus, both New Testament writers. Jude literally quotes a passage from the book of Enoch and states Enoch is the source. Now, you are correct in pointing out that the references I shared from Genesis and Peter make only limited sense. The truth is, we cannot completely understand them apart from the book of Enoch. You see, friends, part of Bible interpretation, and I mean here objective interpretation, not flighty, touchy-feely, believe what we want interpretation, but objective interpretation is to realize that what Scripture meant to its original audience is what it must mean to us. This is done by studying an abundance of extra literature that comes from ancient Israel and other places, literature which goes along with and corroborates the Bible. And in addition to the book of Enoch, that's a chief one that jumps to our mind, but I must say, you can also find this teaching about demons corroborated by ancient historians such as Josephus and Philo, along with the books of Jubilees, Jasher, Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, other books that didn't get into the canon. There's also the ancient rabbinical commentary in the Midrash, and some of the specific apostolic fathers who expressed this belief include Justin Martyr, Clement, Tertullian, and Augustine. In any event, and here's what's important, whatever people agree on or disagree on about the origins of our spiritual enemies, we would all agree and can all confirm that the Bible makes clear we have these spiritual enemies, that they need to be fought. The battle lines are clearly drawn for Christians. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I will certainly talk in more detail about Satan and how to fight him in other shows. Feel free to pop me an email or a comment online and ask any questions you might have about this today. In the meantime, that at least answers part of the question, part of the mystery. Don't demons have bodies of their own? No, the fallen angels did. The demons do not. They are the descendants of angels mating with women. They are the disembodied spirits of their children, the Nephilim. They are fascinated with inhabiting and possessing a human body because they once had human bodies. That part, at least, should make sense to you. And on that note, with that part being obvious, this is Bob Siegel making that obvious part obvious.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.